Please be seated. Pastor Damien is not with us tonight, if that wasn't obvious to you already. I'm here to help you out and let you know. He's been on vacation and getting some rest. He's doing great, and we do expect him back next Sunday, God willing. So plan on that for next Sunday evening. And Sunday morning. I did want to make one announcement to you about our Israel trip. We've been announcing it the last couple weeks. And the reason for my announcement tonight is because tomorrow is the deadline for registration. So if you weren't here this morning and you didn't hear that, please be aware that you must register by tomorrow. There's a $400 deposit that's due. If you want to take a step of faith and just turn in your deposit and register, that is a refundable deposit up until a certain date. You can visit our website at ccmodesto.com, and there's a banner on the front page that says Israel. Click on that, and it'll take you to the website where you can register, and you can use your credit card for that payment. So if you feel the Lord tugging your heart towards Israel, then please make sure you take advantage of this trip. If you did not bring a Bible with you, then please just raise your hand. There are men coming down the aisles. Get their attention. They will get a Bible into your hands. Tonight we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So as you get that Bible or open your own Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be reading starting in verse 23. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jonathan Kaler, one of the pastors here on staff. And very excited to open God's Word up and to be able to enjoy communion with you this evening. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, and we read, this is Paul speaking, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And we'll stop there. Tonight, we want to spend time in God's Word looking at communion, and then we'll have the privilege of partaking of the elements together. How fitting for that to work out on a communion Sunday night. Only the Lord could plan something like that. Communion is an ordinance that Jesus instituted while he was still here on the earth. The first communion was on the very same night that Judas betrayed Jesus. That first communion was symbolic of what Jesus would face at the cross. And every communion after that has been symbolic of what Jesus did face at the cross. Ever since Jesus instituted communion, the church has been observing it. From Acts chapter 2, we see that communion is to be one of the focuses of the church. In Acts 2:42, we read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread," that's communion, "and in prayers." Communion was a key ingredient in the success of the early church, and so it is for the church today. For 2,000 years, we've been observing this ordinance that the Lord gave us. And there is a danger, I think, anytime something is done repeatedly for many years. And that danger is that that thing, because of repetition, would become a religious ritual, something that we do out of habit instead of from the heart. And when this happens, we forget or we lose the reason why we observe communion, the point and the impact of communion. Anytime this happens, it will just lessen what communion was meant to be in our lives and in the life of the church. Simply put, the purpose of communion is to focus our hearts on Jesus, our Savior. And I think you would agree with me that today the church desperately needs our hearts focused on Jesus. What greater thing could we put our focus on than Him? We can't afford to lose the significance of communion in our lives as a church, as a corporate church, and then in our lives individually. In our passage in 1 Corinthians 11, we see three things that the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of the communion experience. All three things have Jesus at the center. Number one, the importance of looking back. Number two, the importance of looking forward. And number three, finally, the importance of looking inside. Looking back. Communion causes us to look back. In verse 24 and 25, we read, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Today we live in a culture where people are constantly trying to forget the past. There are many reasons why we would want to forget our past. It might be shame of the past. It might be the guilt that we feel because of our past, or possibly hurt that we have in our heart because of the past. But in our passage tonight, there's something that the Lord wants to make sure that we never forget about the past. So what is it that the Lord wants to make sure we never forget? Well, it's Jesus. In verse 24 and 25, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," in remembrance of Jesus, and specifically in remembrance of his sacrifice upon the cross for us. We remember that his was the only perfect sacrifice that could pay for our sins. We remember that without his sacrifice, we would still be under the law. But it's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross that we've entered into a new covenant. Jesus spoke of that, didn't he? The new covenant in my blood. No longer a covenant of law, but now a covenant of grace that we enjoy. A covenant that has broken down the walls that separated us from God. And that covenant has made us his children. This covenant, though, it came at the highest possible price. His shed blood. No other blood in history could have sealed this covenant. Without the blood of Jesus, there would be no covenant. And this is the truth that we as Christians can never forget. We must always remember. This remembrance of what Jesus has done is not just to happen at the communion experience, but as Christians, we are to constantly be living in the remembrance of Jesus and what he has done for each one of us. Communion is a sort of sticky note. It is the reminder that chimes on your smartphone that we ask you to silence during the service. It's the string around our finger that keeps Jesus ever on our minds. This reminds me, we just had the Christmas season, and of course I'm sure most of you are familiar with It's a Wonderful Life. It was somewhat of a Christmas tradition while I was growing up to watch that movie. There's just such a great message that comes from that. And I tried to convince my kids of it. And finally this year they latched onto it and they saw the value in this movie. But anyway, talking about It's a Wonderful Life, Uncle Billy, I don't know if you remember him. He was kind of the scatterbrained guy and he would have these strings tied around his finger. I don't think you could devise a worse system for remembering something than to tie a string around my finger. I would forget, what is that string doing on my finger? If I need it written out. In fact, when I set a reminder for myself, I put in as much detail as is possible. I use Outlook, and so I'll type in as much detail about what the reminder's for, where I'm supposed to be, why I'm supposed to be there. Because if a buzzer just goes off, or if I see a string on my finger, I have no idea why that's there. I need something better than a string on my finger to remind me. And certainly the Lord knew that about me, and I'm sure he knew that about you as well. That we needed something better than that. And that is why the Lord gave us communion. It's that string around our finger. Both the bread and the cup represent Jesus' death. The cruelty of his death. The bread represents his body broken for you and for me. And the cup, his shed blood for you and for me. They not only speak about his death, but they also speak to the brutality of his death. The scourging, the beating, the gruesome crucifixion. His was not a death of natural causes or a death that was experienced in a sterile hospital room on a comfy bed. You know, today we don't even refer to it necessarily as death. We will call it passing. And I thank the Lord that we can make people comfortable in their passing as they die. Or as a neighbor of mine said, as they expire. That's a little too blunt for me. But Jesus didn't have that benefit that is so available to us today. No, he died a brutal, cruel death at the hands of sinners. Why would he do this? Why would Jesus do this? Well, it's because of his great love for each one of us. That's why he did it, and that's why it's so important for us to remember his sacrifice. Because when we remember the sacrifice that Jesus did for us, he gave for us, we remember and we realize his great love for us. In a way, I think that Jesus is saying, I don't ever, through communion, I believe he's saying, I don't ever want you to forget how very much I love you. What Jesus did isn't to be a distant fond memory. His sacrifice is to be a present reality in our minds and our hearts. We are to be in a constant state of remembrance for what he did. It's not just something we remember one time, but we continually remember. It's continually on our mind. Just like someone doesn't have to be reminded that they're in love. And I have a wife, Morgan. We've been married for about 15 years now. And I never have to remind Morgan how much she loves me. And that's not because I'm so wonderful. It's because if she loves me, she doesn't need to be reminded about that. It's natural. Now, I might remind her of how much I love her because I don't want her to forget that. Why do I tell her constantly, I love you, I love you, I love you? It's not because I think she's forgotten. It's because I don't want her to forget. I want to keep her in constant remembrance of that. I want her to know how very much I care for her all of the time. I never want her to doubt that. And in the same way, God never wants us to doubt his love for us. How very much he cares for us. How he looks after us. Communion is the Lord's built-in reminder to keep these themes at the forefront of our minds. But why is it so important that we remember that? Because these truths directly impact the quality and the depth of my relationship with God. A child of God who lives in the light of the memory of Jesus' sacrifice will have a much different life than the one who's failed to remember or ceases to be impacted by what Jesus did. You see, remembering what Jesus did directly influences and impacts my life today. Living in the light of what Jesus has done. There's no other event in history that has such immense significance to each child of God. No other thing should influence us like the remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice. And Jesus is calling us to remember what forever changed our lives so that it might continue to change our lives. We experienced great change at our point of conversion, didn't we? God has so much more than just our conversion experience. He wants to take us all the way from conversion to heaven. And to do that, we are to remember his love, his sacrifice for us. We remember that through communion. So as we progress with him, that memory of what he did impacts and changes us day by day. We remember that because of his sacrifice, we are forgiven. We are justified, we are sanctified, and we are glorified. I hope none of us have forgotten any of those truths. Those are facts. That's a truth about each one of you that have put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's your reality. Why is it so critical that we never forget this? Well, as I said, because it determines the quality and the intimacy of our Christian life. Every time we partake of communion, we remember not only what Jesus did, but what Jesus is going to do. Our Savior promised us that he would return. We know that, don't we? And this brings us to our second point. Communion causes us to look ahead, to look forward. In our passage in verse 26, we read, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Till he comes. Jesus is coming again. That's more than a song that we sing. That's a truth. That's a reality. Jesus told us he would come again in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's promised that to us. And Jesus knew how important having his return to look forward to would be in our lives. When you're overwhelmed, when you're burdened by this life, what a comfort, what a consolation, what an encouragement to remember that Jesus is coming back for us. This isn't the end here on this earth. No, we look forward to something infinitely more glorious than this earth and what it has to offer. But there's more that this knowledge does in the life of a believer. It not only comforts and consoles and encourages us. Just as the remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice influences and changes how we live our life daily, so too looking forward to Jesus' return changes how we live and what we live for. I'll share a personal illustration with you. Last year, our family went on a vacation to Disneyland. We try to make a habit of that. My family loves visiting Disneyland, have always loved to do that. And as our kids get older, we have two children, they seem to enjoy it more and more, and we're able to enjoy it with them as well. And so we knew months before the trip that we were going. And so as we planned our vacation to the happiest place on earth, I can't even recall how many times we sat at the dinner table and talked about our trip. It was almost a daily occurrence. And I mean, for months we did this. We talked about what we would do each day. We are planners and we like to plan everything out. We talked about what our favorite ride was. So once we knew what our favorite ride was, what park we were going to be in, then it was the goal of, okay, now what are we going to do first? We're going to go on this ride, which is in this land. And then after that land, what land should we go to? And we just had it all worked out. We had a blast talking about it. Sometimes I wonder if the anticipation is better than the actual trip. But we enjoyed it so much just talking. We talked not only about the rides and the days, but we talked about one of the most important things, which is where we were going to eat. We talked about what desserts we were going to enjoy and how many per day we would have. Because when you go to Disneyland, it seems that all the rules go out the window. You're allowed to have multiple desserts. Those, you know, Mickey Mouse ears that are the chocolate-covered ice cream. Just don't mean to, you know, ruin your time here tonight, but really, really fun talking about all that. For me, one of the things I think I looked forward to most was this little fruit stand at the end of Main Street. They sell these giant pickles. And I think I must have had three of those pickles on the trip. For me, it's that salty vinegar, you know, crunch that gets me every time. So we had talked about our trip from top to bottom. And the knowledge of this earthly vacation, it affected how we handled each day. We had a countdown. We had a countdown of how many days till the trip, how many days of school to the trip. You see, my wife, Morgan, she homeschools our two children. And so for us, a vacation has a lot of significance because it's not just a vacation for the kids from school, but it's a vacation for Morgan from school. And so we get all the more excited. So when school would get especially hard, we would talk about how, well, there's only 22 more days left to Disneyland. So let's just grit our teeth and press on. We saved up our money. We wanted to make sure that we could buy all the souvenirs that we wanted. We wanted to make sure we had plenty of money to be able to afford to buy a water bottle, because you know how much those can cost. $6, I think, is what the going rate is right now. I'm so thankful that in heaven, we don't have to worry about how much something's going to cost, because it's all been paid for. And this illustration isn't just to talk about Disneyland. There is a purpose. The knowledge of our trip affected how we handled each day. We lived in the anticipation of this trip. And you know, communion reminds us to look forward to the return of Jesus each day. To live in the anticipation of that return, of His return. This affects how we should live each day. What we look forward to, what we focus on, what we put our attention to and our affections on, how we view the world around us. Jesus' return should affect every area of our perspective. Communion is meant to be a course correction, a refocus time. It's kind of like a halftime locker room speech. Hey guys, put the focus back on the game. Are you discouraged tonight? Are you overwhelmed with this world? Are you living focused only on this life and not the life to come? Well, communion tonight, through communion, the Lord wants to remind you how important it is for us to put our focus on our future as Christians. When you put your focus on our future with the Lord, that will change how you live your life each day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again," those things we remember, "even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And then he ends it by saying, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." These are great words of comfort, aren't they? And through communion, these words are meant to comfort our hearts continually, daily. So we have looked at the need to remember Jesus, his sacrifice. We just looked at the importance of looking forward to Jesus' return. And next, I want to look at how communion calls us to look inside. And really, this looking inside is the practical applying of the first two points. 1 Corinthians verse 28, our passage, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The Corinthian church had become so focused on themselves. And really, 1 Corinthians is a corrective letter that Paul wrote to them. They had become so focused on themselves that they had lost what communion was all about. They were abusing it. Paul had to tell them to stop, examine themselves, their motives for partaking of communion. In the same way, we are to stop, examine our own motives when partaking of communion. Are the two previous truths that we talked about, are they influencing my life? Am I living like a Christian that remembers what Christ did for me on the cross and how much I needed that and how much I still need it every day? You see, one of the dangers of walking with the Lord for a long time, I think, is that we lose the awe, or we can tend to lose the awe of what the Lord did to save us. We get saved. He transforms our lives. We walk with Him for a while. The process of sanctification begins and continues. And after a while, we can tend to look and think that everything, you know, we look pretty halfway decent in our Christian walk with the Lord. And we tend to forget how much we needed His sacrifice and how much we still need it. Because no matter how sanctified we get, We need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're still sinners. In verse 28, when it says, let a man examine himself, the verb means, let him test his own feelings. Put them to the proof to see whether they be sincere or not. Am I sincere about the cross of Christ in my life? That is a good question for me to ask myself. Am I sincere about it? Am I in awe of what Jesus has done? Shame on me if it doesn't blow me away to this day. Paul, though, he doesn't tell us to examine our own hearts that we might come away depressed. And I tend to be that way. I will look at my own life, examine my heart, and see how wicked it still is, and just get depressed. Oh, Lord, really, after this long, I'm still here? I know someone else feels the same way. But he doesn't tell us these things, doesn't tell us to examine so that we become depressed. No, Paul tells us to examine because that term has the connotation to test with a view toward approval. You see, the Lord wants us to partake of communion, examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It wasn't examine himself so he could become disqualified and not partake. It was, no, take a moment, stop, examine your heart, make the necessary changes in your focus so that you can enjoy the fullness of what communion is. So you can hear me say, I love you. So that you remember that I'm coming back for you. That's why he tells us to examine our hearts. You see, communion is for sinners. Sinners who've put their trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. We are all unworthy, aren't we? But through Christ, every believer is made worthy. Am I coming to communion? Has it been my practice to approach communion in a careless way? Maybe it is a religious, you know, ritual, a repetition that I just do. I've forgotten what it symbolizes in the point of it. Or is the reality of Jesus' sacrifice what fills my heart and my mind? When we take communion, we should be occupied with no man save Jesus only. We should focus our thoughts, our songs, our scriptures, our ministry on his person, on who he is and all the fullness of his nature and personality. We should think about him as the eternal, uncreated, self-existent second person of the Godhead, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with the Father, possessed of all the attributes and prerogative of deity. We should remember how he stepped out of eternity into time, how he lived among us as a man among men. We should trace his pathway here below, the life that he lived, the truth that he taught, and the way that he was. We should be focused on Jesus in Jesus alone. If I were to sum up into one statement these three points, that statement would be, keep Jesus at the center of your life. Communion is God's help for us to do that. Because he sees how important it is, he knows how important it is, and he knows our tendency to forget. And so he instituted communion. So we would never lose sight of that. So we would never forget his love. Communion is not just something that we do once a month on the second Sunday night of the month at Calvary Modesto. Communion is available to each one of us in our own lives. You can partake of it on a weekly, on a daily basis. You can do it at home, with your spouse, with your kids, with your family. I encourage it. Because as Christians, what we want to do is foster an environment of turning our eyes to Jesus, of lifting up our Savior, of making him our single focus. And if communion is God's reminder Is once a month enough? If I had a reminder that reminded me of something I was supposed to do every day, supposed to have as a practice of my life and my heart, would I remind myself once a month? I know me way too well. And me needs a reminder a lot more often than that. And so for each one of us, I hope that we come away with that understanding that communion is to be a practice of our lives as Christians. We're to have Jesus as the focus. We're to be in constant remembrance of what He's done. And we're to look inside to make sure that's the case. We may have to examine our hearts on a daily basis to make sure that we're in line with Him. And I'd like to take a moment tonight to give us a chance to examine our hearts. And so I'd like the worship team to come forward right now and lead us in worship, a worship song, just one, that would give each one of us a chance to put into practice what we have just read about. To examine our hearts, not to disqualification, but to examine our hearts that we might partake of communion the way that Jesus intended us to partake of it. Because when He instituted the Lord's Supper, He did it for a reason, a specific reason. And tonight, may we as a church body, may we experience the fullness of that reason. I know that I desire, and I'm sure you do as well, every single thing that God wants to pour into my life. Well, let's examine our hearts. Let's, as the Corinthians did, examine and make a course correction if necessary. As Samuel and the team lead us in this song, just put your mind on Jesus, your heart on Jesus. Make sure your focus is there. Samuel, would you lead us? Yeah.